This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hi, I'm Chad. I'm a Gen X grown-up. I support Gen X grown-up through Patreon, and you can too at patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X grown-up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up Podcast listeners, to this backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown-Up Podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, is George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And, of course, Mo is here.
Hey, everybody.
With over 208 million subscribers and billions in annual revenue, it can be easy to forget that Netflix started life before the turn of the millennium as a little DVD rental business. In this episode, we're going to remember the humble beginnings and evolution of the online media juggernaut that is Netflix. Thank you, Mo, for the dramatic, the horns right there. Yeah, we needed that. Before we get into talking about Netflix, though, it's time for a little fourth listener email. And ironically, none of the fourth listener email this episode came by way of email. It came from different avenues, but they are all aligned in that they are all in reaction to our Arnold Schwarzenegger top 10 list backtrack that came out a couple of weeks ago.
Why am I not surprised?
So several folks reached out to us via several methods. So I've gathered a few of them here. So kicking us off, Fat Tony, longtime supporter and contributor over on Discord, he wrote to us and said, "No points for Red Heat? Inconceivable."
I don't think it means what you think it means.
Right? You keep using that word. Who was starred with him in Red Heat? Was
Belushi.
That a Belushi or somebody? Yeah. Was it Belushi? Yeah.
Jim.
Yeah. It's sorry. Still no points for Red Heat for me. That's gonna be a big no for me.
Yeah. There are too many others to get points to.
I mean,
yeah.
You're talking about a top 10, not a top 20, not a top 50.
top 20.
There's not even 50 to pick from. Maybe if it's a top 20.
And it still may not make it.
Out of a top 20, it would be number 27, I think.
Ooh.
Them fighting words.
Yeah, he had said in his comment, "I'm only halfway through the episode. I had to pause just to protest that." Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. One of our other fourth listeners, Kyle, he reached out to us on Facebook and he says, "Commando, just an honorable mention? Disrespectful."
I agree 100% with that.
Commando's not a bad film. I don't
dislike it. It actually, it rated well in Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. It's got like 60-70% over there.
I considered giving it some points here and there, but I had to make sure some other movies made it higher up the list, so I didn't have a lot of points to give out. That's part of the limitation of the 60-point maximum. You know, you have to pick and choose your battles, and Commando lost that battle for me.
If we had had a top like 12 or 15, I think it would have been 11 or 12 in there.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been.
I like
close.
Commando.
Probably.
Yeah. But it comes when you're trying to make the 10, you got to take your points and put them up there where it counts. You
right.
can't just like leave them down there and the guys that didn't rank. Yeah. But Kyle, actually, in his message, I love that his take on the favorite fourth listener is hashtag F4L. I like that. That's nice. And then we have a relatively new listener, Steve. He actually texted me, a friend of mine that I know through work, "Last Action Hero should be higher. Conan was kind of crap, and Mo knows what's up. Commando."
Wow. Thank you, Steve.
So apparently Steve and I are never going to be friends, because all three of those things
you
are things I disagree with.
Yeah, he didn't care for any of that, but he did agree with you, Mo. He thought also,
Thank you.
Well, he agreed with Kyle. He thought Commando should be a little higher up there. So yeah, I think the Arnold Schwarzenegger top 10 is getting some reaction. We're hearing some rumblings coming back through the interwebs. I don't think this is the end of fourth listener email on the Arnold Schwarzenegger top 10 that we're going to hear back.
I think we're going to have to stop calling it all fourth listener email. It's just going to have to be like fourth listener communication or something, because we're getting all these different comments from all these different areas, Discord and Facebook and text messages. If somebody pulls up to my house next week, week. I'm going to be really pissed because I don't know how these people are getting in contact with us in all these different ways.
With a bullhorn.
George, listener feedback in the yard.
Yeah, here he is.
Somebody's got like one of those political trucks that drives through the neighborhoods trying to get you to vote for somebody. They're just going around and around.
Commando is the best Arnold Schwarzenegger film ever.
It's like the Blues Brothers, the horn on the top, right? Hey, thanks all of you reaching out to us, however you reach out, email or Discord or Facebook or text. Thank you, Steve. If you would like to reach us, any of those ways are great. Or you can hit us up, email at podcast@genxgrownup.com. We'll read every single one of them. And you never know, no matter how you reach out to us, it just might make the show. All right, it's time to jump into some Netflix history right after this break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show too. It helps more than you know.
Finding the right movie to rent hasn't always been easy. With Netflix, you can get the details on all 50,000 titles. From classics to new releases, and even search for children's movies based on age. That way, there's a movie waiting for you at home.
Hello?
There's a movie waiting for you at home. Netflix. All the DVDs you want, starting at only $9.99 a month. No late fees.
It's been a couple of years ago now, but we did a whole backtrack talking about the rise and the fall and the demise and our fond memories of video rental stores.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix ties directly into that because, well, before Netflix, the only way that we got our movies, before we had DVDs, in fact, VHS, we went to the video rental stores. We got in the car. We drove down to the corner, walked in. And, do you even have this in stock? When are you going to get it back? No, I didn't rewind it. Okay, charge me the dollar, whatever it takes.
Oh, this is late.
Damn it.
Another late fee. Right. I remember like having to run out at 11:59 to drop it into that little mail slot so that I didn't get that late charge and having to deal with all that.
It's got to be in the box.
All that like hassle. But then, you know, Netflix came around.
Yeah. Yeah, Netflix was, you know, I remember when you first started hearing about them, the first thing I was like, there's no way they're sending movies through the mail. This is like right when DVDs were starting to come into the market. Like, there's no way they're going to send people DVDs. They're never going to get them back.
Yeah.
Why would
they're
they
expensive.
Do that?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Why do you trust people with DVDs in the mail? Right.
Yeah. Because back then a DVD would cost you, you know, 30, 40 bucks for a first run movie.
Yeah. First run stuff. This was coming right after. Remember originally, if you wanted to buy a VHS tape, that was like 100
when they were first
you know, being made for sale to the public because they were trying to avoid the rental market or whatever.
And the release pricing had gotten better by then, but still DVDs were the new hotness, and so they were sometimes 30-40 bucks depending. And TiVo was still a couple years out. They didn't come out until 1999, and so really, if you wanted to watch stuff, so time shifting wasn't a thing, digital recording wasn't a thing, VHS was still the only way you had stuff that you could record off the TV or anything.
And you better have HBO, otherwise you're going to be dealing with commercials and weird formatting and cut scenes.
Ugh, adjusted to fit your TV. Pan and scan. Ugh, garbage. And scan.
That's like evil. When video rental stores came out, you know, that kind of changed that whole paradigm that now it's like, now I don't have to invest a huge amount of money into a movie I may only watch once or twice.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
Right.
So Netflix was founded in August of 97 by two entrepreneurs, Mark Randolph and Reed Hastings. And when they first opened, they were just that. They were a movie rental service. I mean, there's a lot more now today. We're going to get into the other crap that they do, which is trying to dominate the world. But that's all they were doing. They're like, hey, we could do a video rental store, but through the mail, maybe.
Well, and I remember at first when they, I've seen several, we're not the first to cover Netflix. Let's put that out there right now. We're not giving you any information
you
can't get from a million other places.
Okay. Yeah.
But several of the documentaries and TV documentary shows and stuff that I've watched, they talk about when they first opened up that first day that, you know, servers crashed because mm-hmm. they didn't expect the amount of people that actually logged in and created accounts and everything. I think it was very telling to them that they knew they had something right away because mm-hmm. all of the interest they had really only mentioned it to family and friends. It wasn't like a big publicity campaign. They hadn't put ads in newspapers or anything. And this is still early days of the internet, 97.
Yeah.
It's not like ads were everywhere. There wasn't a Facebook to pop up ads in your mm-hmm. face every right. 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Don't underestimate the laziness of the American public. If I cannot go to the rental store, yes, please.
Yeah, look at Amazon.
You talked about, we had VHS before that. The Randolph and Hastings had considered VHS first, mm-hmm. but they rejected it and went with DVDs.
Yeah, and that makes total sense. I mean, VHS tapes are big.
They're bigger.
And I think they're probably more fragile. I mean, they're just, and the weight and the shipping and the cost, and I mean, it was ridiculous.
Well, the testing they did was literally they took a DVD and they mailed it to their mm-hmm. house in Santa Cruz from mm-hmm. their offices, and when it got there in perfect condition, they went, all right, I guess this will work. I mean, that was their market research.
Yeah.
So they just spitballed it and it worked out. When they launched in 98, they had a handful of staff, and I think I read 925 DVDs. That was it.
Wow.
That was all they had to start with. And I think I read eventually when they got rolling, they only got like $2 million in capital investment. It wasn't like this giant angel investment and tons right. of capital influx. They just got a little bit of seed money and again, 920 movies and to get the ball rolled.
Yeah. I wow. mean, it's, they talk a lot about in some of those other places, you know, the packing materials that they thought they were going to have to use for VHS tapes versus DVDs. Mm-hmm. And one yeah. of the reasons why they went with the DVDs, you know, they could put them in those envelopes that could go through the machines right. and right. not flat. Damage yep. the right. stuff. And because DVDs are so light, it's kind of a engineering physics question, right? The heavier an object is, mm-hmm. the more likely it is to get damaged if it's dropped or mm-hmm. thrown or anything like yeah. that. Whereas something that's very light, you throw it or drop it or anything like that, it's kind of like a feather hitting the ground. It's not really going to get damaged. And
makes sense.
That with their test that John talked about, that's exactly why the DVD made more sense to them. Plus, it was a new format that was coming out, and I think they kind of saw the future, so to speak, that mm-hmm. DVDs were going to replace VHS tapes. And anytime you can get on the front end of a new wave, you have a really good shot at making money.
No, absolutely. And the thing is, I don't think it would have succeeded with VHS, to be honest, or Beta. You know, I think the only way they could make the numbers work is with DVDs, because for all the reasons that George just said, it's cheaper, there's less damage. Although I do remember some of these coming in damaged, but we'll talk about that later. And then I love the whole idea that they gave you that pre-postage envelope, like the envelope it came in was like that, put it back in the same envelope, essentially.
The whole origami part where you yeah. tore one yeah, piece like off and then stuck it back in and peeled the little,
because they had to cover all that postage
yeah
too on top of that, so
they paid the in and outbound
yeah. yeah,
but that postage was much cheaper with the DVD.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course.
You know, one of the things that Netflix, I think, nailed really early on was accessibility, right? The internet was a new market, but the internet mm-hmm. was purported to be everywhere. Anywhere you can connect your computer, you're on the internet, right? It's mm-hmm. AOL, whatever it is that you're mm-hmm. using. It's 97, 98.
AOL. I know. We're like, okay.
That's a whole different podcast. Anyway.
Prodigy.
You know, you're sitting at your home. John, you probably had a video store near you. Mo, you had like 47 bodega video shelves or something like that.
Probably, yeah.
I had a whole bunch of different video stores. You know, Blockbuster was becoming the thing at that point. They were mm-hmm. almost everywhere, but they weren't everywhere. There was a lot of rural communities, a lot of out of the way places that didn't necessarily have an easily accessible video store. And that's what Netflix did for them. They became the one place to get stuff for those people out in the communities that didn't have a video rental store near them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's yeah. one of the other reasons why at their outset, in their origin, they were way ahead of the curve and they started getting customers that nobody else could really touch. Everybody wanted movies at their home, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. couldn't get to them.
Yeah.
Because one thing you are guaranteed to have is mail service. Mm-hmm. So right. you are going to have that for sure, no matter
you're gonna
what.
You're going to have the post office, the, you know,
yep.
McPhee feely Mr. Postmaster guy is going to come running through your town, drop off your DVD. That makes you happy.
Speedy delivery. Yes. Netflix is here. Speedy delivery. Yeah, so it really, you're right. It opened up the door to people that otherwise might have to commute or it wasn't convenient to go and get movies. And you're like, oh, well, now I can get this. In one case, they were a competitor for actual physical brick and mortar retail stores like your corner, your movie gallery, your Blockbuster. But in another way, they tapped a channel of revenue that otherwise wasn't being served at all, was it?
Yeah.
It was like, well, hey, these guys, they weren't spending money because it just wasn't easy for them to spend money. Give these guys some cash and here it comes in the mail.
Mm-hmm. They were a competitor in one form of video rental, but nobody else was a competitor to them in another form. There was nobody else doing the mail order market. Everybody was renting videos and they were a part of that. But the part that nobody else was a part of was sending them directly to your house. And I think that first initial decision of we're going to be a mail order business is what sent them down the huge trajectory that everybody knows now as Netflix.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, also don't forget the whole internet as well. I mean, they were the first early ones to take advantage of the internet and the fact that, hey, you guys should run a business using the internet now.
That they were getting into the time when the internet was really accelerating. Right. So perfect timing.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. And then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
There's a better way to rent movies. As many as you want for only $17.99 a month and no late fees.
Go to Netflix.com, make a list of the movies you want to see, and in about one business day, you'll get three DVDs. Keep them as long as you want without late fees. Then when you're done, look, prepaid envelopes. Return one, and they'll send you another movie from your list. It's easy.
Netflix. All the movies you want, only $17.99 a month and no late fees.
I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that we have people listening to this episode that don't remember, aren't old enough, or didn't experience the old Netflix. Now, surely you're streaming today and you log in and you use your TV to watch streaming Netflix, but you might not remember the experience of the old school, the 97, 98 Netflix.
I guarantee if I make my son listen to this episode, he will not have that experience because he never...
That's not what Netflix does.
The only DVDs he remembers maybe are like when he was like a toddler in the van in the DVD player that we would have with a little TV. Experience with Netflix whatsoever.
Gotcha. Yeah. So it was a website where you would log in and they would have an index in their database of all the films that they had available. And you would go through and you would create, much like you do on the website for streaming today, you would create a queue. And so the concept of a queue came from their DVD rental business, where you would say, here are all of the DVDs I want to see, and put them in order. And you would have an account with them. And depending on the level of your account, you would get X number of DVDs out at a time.
Right.
It might be one at a time, two at a time. I think it was a max of three, maybe. I don't remember. I think it was three at a time.
I think it was three was the top tier.
I had a maximum of three account. I don't know if there was a larger one than that, but I know I had a maximum of three.
I remember that one. And you'd mentioned already, they pay all of the postage, both inbound and outbound, and they would literally go through your queue. So whatever you had created, the next DVD in your queue that was available, when it was time to get one, they would ship it out to you automatically.
I think that queue idea was also a genius idea because... you, of course, put all the latest stuff that just came out at the top of your queue. But then you always wanted to throw stuff in there that you knew would be available. Okay, if none of these are there, I'll take the Reanimator. And so you knew you were going to get something back. And regardless of whatever it is you got back, you were probably going
to
watch it.
Yeah, no, I had, at one point, I remember having close to 100 movies in that queue on my account. Not just for me, of course, my wife would log in and put stuff that she would want on it. But I remember, like you're saying, Mo, you would take the newest, hottest thing and move it up to the top of the queue. And remember, they occasionally they would have a shortage because, you know, a movie was so super popular, it might not be available for you for a little while. So it might say, you know, in your queue, you'll have to wait an extra amount of time to get this one. So it would skip to your number two or your number three item on the list because it could send that out right away. What I remember getting frustrated about was everybody kept moving their things up to the top of the list. My wife would move hers. I would move mine, the kid. Everybody would start to, you know, my older sons, they would move stuff around and everything. And so you go and you get that little red envelope out of the mailbox and you come in, red you open envelope. Up. The hell is this? I didn't put this on the list. And you go back and look. Sure enough, so and so logged in and put. Damn it!
Yeah.
Oh, so much.
Yeah. The queue fight.
Yeah. No, at the very beginning, they were actually charging per rental. They were like $4 for a rental, and then $2 for postage. But they figured out that this queue thing works so much better by just making it a subscriber based thing, and that meant that as soon as they got it back, they shipped a new one out, and that kept you engaged. You always had a video out. There was always something waiting for you, and you always had something. And the way that that didn't bite you is that the model meant that you could keep the disc as long as you wanted. That was another huge thing with them.
That was the key, right? Because it wasn't just no late fees. It was keep it however you long. Like, even though Blockbuster did the no late fee thing around that time when Netflix was starting to get popular,
they had to,
You still were told when you checked out that thing, this is due back in 3 days, or this is due back in 2 days or 5 days or whatever it was. You were still told that, so they're still in your mind, oh, I need to bring this back. I need to bring this back. But with this, they actively told you, keep it as long as you want. Go ahead. We're fine. We'll get more. Don't worry about it. You just enjoy the movie.
I remember, like, especially if, like, you or one of your friends happened to be lucky to get, like, a recent release.
Yep. You could pass it around.
I wouldn't return it. I would pass it around.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, I was like, okay, hey, will you finish with it? Mail it back. You know, and I give them the envelope, the whole thing. Like, just mail it for me, you know, let me know. Because sometimes you said it could take weeks until you got that latest release, you know, the thing that just came out.
That was a very attractive thing that was very different from the brick and mortar. Because the mom and pop stores, they need to keep turning it over because they only made money when you rented a video. Whereas Netflix was a subscriber model. As long as you kept your subscription going, just keep it out.
Yeah.
And you won't get a new one until you give this one back to us. And then you get a new one. And that worked for them.
I knew a mom and pop DVD or, you know, video rental store couple. And when they finally closed their business down, they told me it wasn't Blockbuster that killed them, which is kind of what everybody assumed. Blockbuster came in the town you know, mom and pop shops still had little niches they could get into to keep themselves afloat. Every single one of them told me that, or at least this couple did for sure, that it was Netflix that really shut them down.
Yeah. I still remember oftentimes, like you said, because there was no, this had to be returned in 3 days. Sometimes, because I had this, like the three subscriptions like you guys did, there was invariably one of the DVDs that would just sit next to the DVD player for like a month. Because there was no rush on it, I didn't feel the pressure to have to watch it tonight. Because remember, going to the store, you're usually renting something that you're going to watch that night or the next day, right?
Mm-hmm. You got to watch it because you got to get it back. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you kind of planned around that. Whereas this one, it's like, oh, yeah, I got that movie in. It's been sitting there. I was like, oh, yeah, we should do that. And the only thing that would really inspire me to return and watch it was that there was something else on my queue I wanted more. So it's like, okay, you know, I got to return this thing.
The disc waiting to be watched is currency you need to get the next thing to you. So you just got to finally get around to it. I can remember coworkers at my work would always be on Netflix playing with their queues, kind of messing around. What new movies are out and messing around. Mm-hmm. And so we would actually prank each other because they'd leave themselves logged in.
Oh,
and we'd mess with their queue. and we would find like the goofiest movies or kids shows or like, let's just stack their library with all the Franklin DVDs or anything you could find. And sometimes they would catch it, but often we do it and then log them out. So they wouldn't come and realize they'd done it. And they would find out when they got it in the mail. And they're like, what the hell? I got a bunch of DVDs of kids shows in the mail today. Because you could do that. It's kind of like a riff off of what happened in your family, George. But instead of them getting something else that you didn't want, they got something nobody wanted.
Right.
You can mess with them. And,
you know, that messed with them even more because Netflix, even back then, had that learning algorithm where if you checked off that you wanted all these kids' DVDs, that would be the thing when they logged into their Netflix account. Do you want to watch this? Do you want to watch that? Do you want to watch? And it would be all that kind of stuff based off of what was already in your watch list or queue or had been delivered to you.
Yep. Right. So, speaking of which, actually, do you guys remember the Netflix prize back in 2006, which was they offered $1 million to somebody who came up with a better algorithm for recommending movies?
I kind of remember hearing that.
It was a $1 million reward, and they had some ready, because that was the other thing that they could do that Blockbuster's other ones couldn't, is that they had metadata, right? This is the early days of actually grabbing all your watch lists, grabbing everything that you looked interested in.
Mm-hmm. And click on.
Because their recommendations were usually pretty damn good, unless somebody like John like messed with your queue.
Right. Blockbuster had all of that information. Blockbuster knew, based on your membership number, what things you had rented. But the difference was, when you went into the store, they couldn't redesign the store as you walked through
the
store.
They couldn't put it in front of you.
Much so, yeah,
they
right.
couldn't present stuff in front of you. So
they didn't have the ability.
They didn't have like little lights over the ones that you should probably look at.
Exactly.
You know? I remember back then, because I heard about this competition, so I was kind of interested, that they had, I forget, some ridiculous number of characteristics that they would attribute to every single movie. And they had staff people that would just do that, just categorize every single thing. And then they would pull that data, and they said, it would get down to, you like dramas with strong female lead characters that take place in period times. There would come these 8 or 9 criteria and say, oh, here's 5 others that match that same criteria. And so they had that competition in 2006, and actually somebody won, and they got $1 million for coming out with a better algorithm for that.
Well, they've made their money back. Don't worry.
They're good.
I don't think there's an issue.
John, you and I, we lived in an apartment complex here in Tallahassee. We both lived in the same complex. And do you remember, literally across the street was a Blockbuster.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Yep.
It was,
yep.
You walk out of the entrance to our apartment complex, you cross a small little road, and that back of that parking lot was the Blockbuster parking lot.
I could throw a rock and hit it.
Yep. When Netflix came out and got popular, I wouldn't walk to that Blockbuster to rent anything. I would still only use Netflix because it was easier than dealing with Blockbuster.
Well, and selection.
Yeah.
I mean, Blockbuster had what Blockbuster had. Netflix had everything.
Yeah. And it was a big Blockbuster store. It wasn't a small one. It was a good sized facility, and they had plenty of stuff. But remember, Blockbuster was late switching from VHS to DVD, which meant less space on the shelves. And Netflix was more convenient because it went straight to your home and you didn't have to send it back until you were ready. It just made it so much easier. I wouldn't even walk literally across the street to rent from Blockbuster before I'd order from Netflix.
Yeah, never underestimate the laziness of people.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com.
If you're busy like me, going to the video store is a hassle. With Netflix, just make a list of the movies you want to see. And in about one business day, you'll get 3 delivered to your house. Keep them as long as you want, without late fees. Finish one, return it in this prepaid envelope, and they'll send you another movie from your list.
Can you get that?
Mommy's doing a TV commercial!
Netflix. All the movies you want, $22 a month, and no late fees.
We touched on a little bit like the competitors and, you know, the people that Netflix was actually going against. And, you know, today, obviously, it's all the other streaming services and But back in the day, like you said earlier, George, they didn't really have a lot of competition on that online rental kind of situation.
They had none.
Yeah, they had none.
No online.
Yeah, the Venn diagram had no overlap in the online rental store at first.
Their first competitors were those brick and mortar stores. Like you said, the ones they put out of business and the ones that they were just too damn convenient or people just too damn lazy. lazy to walk across the street to get.
It was a better mousetrap. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And the funny thing is, I remember reading that how Blockbuster actually had the opportunity to buy Netflix.
Well, we've all heard this story, right?
I mean, that's
been the biggest faux pas of anyone. And depending upon who's telling the story, there are like four or five different Blockbuster executives, and they all tell a slightly different story. Yeah.
Where they're not the fault.
None of them are at fault. And every time they made a good decision, yet they're still bankrupt and Netflix is Netflix. So it's funny to listen to them in the different documentaries that try to explain away the decision-making process. Oh, we were trying to go this way and they weren't really anything at this point when it was offered to us and all like that. And all of their reasons for not doing it, to me, were reasons to do it. Because Blockbuster was spending money hand over fist, right?
Yeah.
At this point, their whole goal was to saturate the United States with Blockbuster stores. They were trying to open them up left and right and center and everywhere. Yeah. So why not pick up a middling little internet company that is eating away into your profits when you can do it for cheap maybe get some proprietary stuff that you can use in your model? Why not do that then? I never understood
as
their
a speculative
reasoning.
Move, if nothing else, right? Just give it a shot, right? You have money to burn at the moment. You were the behemoth. You could have picked it up.
You think about all the stuff Blockbuster was at that point. Blockbuster had a bowl game for college. They were a sponsor of it, and it was one of the newer ones. Like, it wasn't the Sugar Bowl or the Orange Bowl or anything like that, that later on started becoming like the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl or what the hell ever.
Yeah, no,
it
was growing.
The Blockbuster Bowl. I remember being a big college football fan at the time. You're like, where in the hell did this bowl come from? They just created their own. They had the blimp thing. Remember
the blimp? That's right.
They were becoming more popular than Goodyear's blimp at that time. They were sinking money into advertising everywhere. Netflix could have become an advertising platform for them with a built-in audience. It could have become Blockbuster Presents Netflix or what the hell ever they wanted
whatever
to call it.
Whatever it is, right.
And they would still be around today. I really believe that that's the entire reason they're gone and Netflix is still here.
Well, you look at like all the changes that Blockbuster had to make to try to compete with Netflix, right? They suddenly had like thousands of copies of latest releases, whereas before they would have some, right? And you had to go back to the store like a million times.
They killed the no late fees they added,
no late fees.
I remember that commercial.
Right? We mentioned that.
The guy, the whole crowd of people in a New York setting walk up to the thing and the banner falls down and the guys are just standing there. No late fee, because that's what's on the banner. Everybody's mesmerized. And that ended up hurting Blockbuster. That killed a third of their revenue. They figured out
they're making tons of money that way.
And also the switch to DVDs from VHS also. I mean, because, I think they didn't think that, DVDs, that won't catch on. Like, it'll take forever to catch on. DVDs took over within a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yep.
And VHS was just gone.
Even without the recording ability, right? It was the higher quality. And I think the bigger thing about DVDs that also, not just higher quality, but VHS tapes, you watch it over and over again, you get that burn spot on them and stuff. Never have any issues with that with DVDs.
Never degrade.
Also, DVDs had the extra features, which I really liked all that
audio
stuff.
Tracks,
the director commentary, stuff, commentary the behind the scenes, the making ofs, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And Blockbuster just kept doing catch-up things once they missed out on the buy. So 2004, they did launch an online rental model like Netflix. They missed out on buying Netflix, so they said, well, let's try to be Netflix. So they started that. And remember, they did the thing where you can rent it online and return it in the store if you want.
Right, like get a new one quicker. That was their whole thing.
Did you think I want to do that? Did you see Netflix people complaining they don't have a store to drop it off at?
Did you not see me sitting in my college apartment, not walking across the street to your store?
Yeah, right?
Right. Do you see me passing five mailboxes on my way to anywhere?
Yeah.
to return something?
So they tried and tried, but they couldn't catch up. Like you said, they blew up.
Well,
so,
and you talk about, too, like them swapping out their VHS for DVD. How many of us have grown up in the Gen X era? We've switched from LPs to cassettes, from cassettes to CDs, from CDs to MP3s. Think about, until you get to the MP3 part, how much expense you paid every time switching out your audio music.
Oh, yeah.
When I rebought my albums.
You rebought all your stuff every time.
There's some albums I bought every single freaking time.
And it was expensive for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that on the scale of a Blockbuster now. Replacing your entire Blockbuster VHS collection across the nation, across the world even.
Yeah, I think that's when Blockbuster started having those discount bins with all the VHS tapes in them
that
you could buy for like a dollar. I mean, literally for a dollar.
I think I remember seeing those there faster than I did at Walmart when Walmart started doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that Walmart actually offered online rentals? This is going back to 2002 they did it. So, which is also funny because Blockbuster waits until 2004. And there's already companies a couple of years before that who are trying to jump on it. You know, I'll tell you how late they were to the game. But I think Walmart quickly realized that they just weren't able to compete. I think Netflix had it locked.
They couldn't keep up. Yeah.
I didn't even realize Walmart had done it. That's how.
Yeah. Because they ended it like 3 years later and it didn't, like I said, it never took off and never really made the money because Netflix had the selection. But, I never did either. But then we have talked about things like there were some areas that Netflix wasn't covering that seemed to have some openings were like video game rentals, right?
Oh, yeah. Video game rentals are very much like DVDs, right? So same form factor. It's a disc. You can send it out. And Netflix was not doing that at all. I remember Gamefly launched in 2002.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's back in the, I think that's Xbox 360 era. I'm pretty sure 2002.
Xbox 360.
Yeah, PlayStation 2, right?
I remember specifically picking Gamefly games that were easy to get all the achievements on because I could get them, get all the achievements, and ship it back. But I was just chasing achievements. That's all I was doing. But it was inexpensive. It was like $6.99 a month or something, and you could get maybe one or two games out at a time.
It was only like, I think it was only one at a time, actually.
Was it one at a time, maybe? Still, it was decent.
I can't remember. I just remember this was the start of the entertainment mail delivery group, right? Because what you're talking about before is strictly movies and
that's right.
Maybe TV shows like series that were popular, like a Frasier or a Star Trek or something like that.
Yep.
That had received some compilations or whatnot. When Gamefly came on the market, that's when everybody went, oh, because Blockbuster was still, I don't remember if they were renting video games, weren't they?
They might have been.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That was still a market for them that Netflix hadn't encroached upon at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think it wasn't too much longer when they did. They started doing that whole split thing that we're probably going to talk about later, and they had the different divisions and whatnot.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't think even they really took off. Video games very quickly went from purchase in the store to download direct to your device. Xbox 360, especially, John, you're talking about that. That was one of the first boxes that you could download some of the smaller games to.
Yeah, Xbox Live Arcade launched with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was those premium titles that there wasn't disk space or bandwidth yet to get the full disk games you couldn't get. So there's that window from like 2002 through 2007 or so, maybe 5 years, where there was a rental viability that people had to rent to get the games they wanted because they really couldn't download yet. And Gamefly just kind of swooped in. Gamefly's still around. I don't know how well they're doing, but they're still a company. They're still out there. Yeah.
And then the other model that kind of popped up was the whole, the red box, you know, kiosk style thing.
Yeah.
That's still around.
When I saw that, I'm like, really? Is this ever going to work?
I used it all the time.
I thought it was a smart idea.
Yeah.
I didn't get it, but apparently everyone I talked to, like George and like some other friends, are like, oh yeah, we go by there all the time and we drop. I'm like, wow.
It boils down to the convenience thing. Where was I going all the time? I was going to Walmart or I was going to CVS or I was going to, you know, Walgreens or something. And everywhere I went was one of those damn kiosks.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was already going there and I don't remember them having even the late fees. Maybe they did. I can't remember.
I think you put a credit card in, right?
You used a credit card.
And that just makes sure you bring it back at all,
right?
I think is the deal, right? I use it a few times, but yeah, you put in your card, you pick what you want, it spits it out, and you take it home and you bring it back and you throw it in. They're like, great, that's the rental, and you just keep that.
When the novelty of it wore off for me was because it's a small little box compared to a giant warehouse that Netflix has of DVDs.
Yeah, and selection.
Because I was going to the same Walmart to do my shopping, that kiosk only had those same movies, and they didn't replace them often enough to get new things in the box and have enough of them in the box for me to continue doing it. And so eventually we just said, nah, we'll just go back to Netflix.
Nothing
and that's
new.
What we did. And that was when Netflix was also first starting some of those streaming things, right? And you could stream from a very small library of movies. I think at first they had like 5,000 movies available or something to stream. It was very limited and you have way more DVD choices to look at. That's when your early days of getting a computer hooked up to your TV, you know, because it's way before the Fire Stick or the Roku box or anything like that.
Because actually that was my question about that. It's like those kiosks only hold so many movies, right?
Yeah.
I was like, how do they keep the churn of the latest stuff? But like you said, I guess that makes sense. After a while, you probably burn through everything everything they have. And
I mean, they, because of the way that they packaged them in those little thin cases, my guess is they could probably hold anywhere from 500 to 700 or so DVDs in that box. It was a good size box, but
it's like in a carousel. I've seen them open. It's like a big carousel inside of there.
Yeah. Like an old jukebox, probably.
Right.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. I learned they were founded by Coinstar, the company that charges you 10% to count your coins.
Really?
Charges you to count your money. Did you guys know that Amazon was even in the DVD rental thing for a short period of time? Not in the U.S. They actually tried it. They did like a trial in Germany and the United Kingdom where they were doing trying to break into that. And this is like in 2005 or something like that. And the funny thing was that they wound up selling it off to a European company called like Love Film, which was starting to do streaming. That was their thing. And then Amazon later turned around and bought that company again. Lose money on that deal, I'm sure, because they wanted like the streaming assets and stuff that they had. A lot of people were tried, but absolutely nobody. Once Netflix got established, that was it.
Well, what's the biggest thing in business? First to market is always going to win. Doesn't matter if you're the best, even most of the time. If you're first to market and you establish yourself, that's it. You're going to be the one that stays there. Now, there's a couple of instances where that's done different. You know, your Friendster or what the hell ever is not here anymore, like MySpace or whatever, but Facebook is. But most of the time, first to market is the biggest factor in being successful. And that's what Netflix did.
And if you're not first, the follow-up has to be substantially better. And all of these competitors were just Me Too's. They weren't substantially better. If they just wanted a slice of the pie, Netflix had already set the standard.
Yeah. And I think the smart thing with Netflix is that they constantly improved. Like, I don't think they ever sat back and just sort of let things ride. Because, I mean, the website constantly got updated. The selections constantly got updated. They started getting exclusive deals with certain DVDs. I mean, they were constantly pushing forward, trying to stay ahead of that curve, which I think even made it more difficult for anybody to catch up.
Science! 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 Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes, yes!
Mm.
Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/Patreon.
Netflix interviews, take two.
I love Netflix. I'm never without a movie with Netflix.
Start your Netflix free trial today. Choose from thousands of movies and TV episodes streamed instantly right to your TV.
I can just click and I can be laying in my bed and poof. Movies and right there.
Netflix. DVDs by mail plus movies streamed instantly to your computer or TV.
It's like getting extra movies for no additional charge.
Netflix. Rent as many TV episodes and movies as you want for only $9 a month. Start your free trial today at Netflix.com.
We've talked about the origins of Netflix, some of the early experiences, and their competitors. So let's talk about where they are today. Today, they offer a wide range of TV series, documentaries, feature films, many, many genres, and even their own original productions.
Yeah.
They have over 200 million subscribers.
Jeez.
Last year, they had 25 billion with a B. Billion in revenue.
$1 billion.
Billion? Yeah. They are the 800-pound gorilla in media, and not just in streaming, not just in rentals, just in media, in content creation.
Yeah, there's only one that's close to them at this point, and is probably bigger than them, and that's Disney.
Probably.
In terms of, across the board. Yeah, right. Big stuff.
Yeah.
Disney has all the major IP properties out there right there. I mean, that's Disney, but even Disney's Disney Plus is still a pale comparison to Netflix's online streaming platform.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Netflix is number one. Amazon Prime is number two. Talking subscribers, number two.
Okay.
And then the others are behind those.
But
those
are everybody else.
And then everybody else.
That's how bad
it is. And your Hulus and your Vudus and whoever else.
And the only reason why Amazon's is number two is because they bundled their streaming service with the shipping that still takes me 6 days to get my product. I'm going to throw that in there every time I get a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only reason why they even have the same subscriber numbers or close to Netflix. Netflix That's doesn't right. do anything that Amazon does, and they're still kicking their ass.
Yeah. I read that. They say it's a subscriber number, but there's not any good metrics that say they have anywhere near the people that watch Amazon Prime content compared to Netflix.
Well, because right. Amazon will never release that number because it'll show them as fourth or fifth, probably.
Of course.
Probably. The funny thing is that, you know, that bread and butter business that they had, the DVD subscription, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2007? They shipped their billionth with a B, their billionth DVD. And that yep. was in 2007, which, wow, I mean, I guess for a second I was like, oh, that's that long ago, but it turns out that's 14 years ago.
Right.
But yeah, 1 billion. They still today have 3 million or so people who still subscribe to their DVD service.
And that's probably due to internet bandwidth issues, right? People who are in remote rural areas who maybe don't have the kind of bandwidth they need in order to stream a movie consistently, make it look good. But now with satellite streaming the way it's getting, and I know Elon Musk is probably going to go up there and put 1 billion more satellites or something to make that stuff better for people who can't get the physical cable links or fiber optic or anything. As soon as that issue is solved, I'm sure you'll see that business dissipate. But until then, there are still people who need it.
Matter of fact, one of our people on our Discord server that we talk to a lot mentioned that they still use the subscription because there's certain things you just can't get streaming.
Oh, they don't have the rights to, but they do have the DVDs. Oh,
but
okay.
They do have the DVD rights to. So older, hard to find movies, that kind of stuff that
gotcha.
You know, they still liked it because they can still get this older stuff that you just can't, that nobody's bothered to digitize and stream yet.
They're just not searching in the public domain hard enough. That's all it is.
Is that what it is? Well, that same year they shipped their billionth DVD, 2007, was also the year that they first launched streaming video. So that's when that kicked off, just in mid-2000s. Again, seems like recently, been 14 years ago, been a while. And it took a little while to catch on. Again, there was a bandwidth issues. Broadband was not as ubiquitous as it is today, of course. So you had to have a broadband connection to do that. You know, dial-up was not sufficient to do that kind of thing. But once you could, talk about convenience and being lazy. The fact that you don't even have to get the DVD or rent it. Everything is there right away. Jeez, awesome.
Yeah.
So they continue to innovate. So first, they were just licensing other people's stuff, right? Other people's content. They licensed it. They would pay Disney for Disney stuff. They would pay Paramount for Paramount stuff. 2009, they started their Netflix Originals program.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, their very first series that they ever produced themselves was the one with Famke Janssen, and it was like a vampire or werewolf TV series or something like that, and it lasted, I think, 2 seasons.
I don't remember.
I remember what you're talking about. Can't think of the name of it, but I know what you're talking about. It might have been. It was early on.
Listeners can write into us and tell us, but I'm sure, pretty sure that was the very first one that they produced.
Was it really? Wow.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. So to date, they have produced over 1,500 original titles.
Mm.
Yep.
Wow.
It keeps going. And now original content fits in 2 categories. There's stuff they originally create themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's content that other houses create and they purchase and label as a Netflix original.
Yeah.
This is Netflix agreement. Greenlit.
Yeah.
They're a distributor like anybody else. Like you would go out and distribute, they're a distributor.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you guys remember that boondoggle they did back in 2011 when they separated their DVD from the streaming?
Quickster.
Oh, Quickster.
Do you know that they lost something? They said they estimate they lost something like 200 and something thousand subscribers in that 2 or 3 month period.
Yeah, people were furious.
They announced it. I quit. That was one of the times I quit.
Yeah,
Netflix.
People were pissed. So they quickly reverse it. No, we're not separating it. No. That was,
Well, so tell the story, Mo. Tell how it happened.
It was, I think, September-ish 2011 that they said that, now we're going to have 2 totally separate things. We're going to have their DVDs, which were still popular. Back in 2011, we were still doing a lot of DVD mailings.
Oh, yeah.
And our streaming. And there was 2 separate charges for it. It was everything.
Yeah, because before that, it was all one charge. You got the streaming as the add-on when they first started doing streaming to your already existing DVDs at home.
Exactly. Yep. So it was just like a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, there's nothing worse you can do than give it to somebody for free and then try to charge them for it.
Yep.
Because as soon as they did that, as soon as that, even the announcement came out, people just lost their shit. I mean, everybody
because
did.
I remember specifically, it was, I think I was paying $9.99 for the 3 DVDs at home
or
with the bonus.
Like that,
And then when they split it out, it was all of a sudden going to be $2.99 charges. I was like, fuck that. I won't be using you ever again.
Yeah, I think maybe they dropped their DVD like to $7.99, but you still have to pay like $9.99 for the streaming.
Right.
So you're still
fees.
Paying way too more. Yep. And so they said there was just huge excess of people just dropping them. And suddenly they're like, less than a month later, they were like, no, we're not doing that. Which actually I give them credit for. Some companies just won't admit that they're wrong and sort of keep going down a certain path. But at least they said that.
Yeah, they made some public statements. Hastings in particular, I remember making some public statements about it was a bad decision after the fact. You know, oh, we should have done that, blah, blah, blah. You're right. You don't see that very often from CEOs.
Right.
And he was adamant. Like, he was like, I know people are upset. This is the new course. We're doing it. There were so many press conferences and statements and articles. And then it was 3 or 4 weeks later and they're like, oh, damn. Never mind. Bad idea.
Right. We fired the guy who came up with it. We were moving on.
The odd thing is, though, they still kind of low-key done it.
Yeah, sort of, kind of.
Yeah. Now, if you want to get DVDs, you add a DVD onto it and you click on it. If you go to DVD.com, that redirects to a sub-site of Netflix. It's kind of shady. They kind of did what they wanted anyway after the fact. But now they've done it when people don't care as much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They didn't make it so overt and in your face and double charging. So
right. And then once everybody was into mostly streaming, then they said, oh yeah, you know, if you want to get the rentals, that's additional. You know, if you want to actually rent them, and most of us didn't even notice
later,
quite honestly, because we were all streaming.
Because at that point, the majority of their audience were streamers, not
right.
Remember the first time you could watch a movie on your phone? That's the type of thing that would make you not give a crap about a separate DVD service.
right. Yeah. And Netflix was one of the first streaming companies. I mean, even when they started streaming and they had competitors like Hulu and other things, they were one of the first companies that started producing apps, not just for phones and mobile, but for set-top boxes.
Yeah.
They would produce their own apps and say, hey, Rokus of the world, hey, smart TVs of the world, we're going to make the app if you would please include it. And they weren't charging people licensing fees. Like, here's the thing, put it out there, because if it's on a box, then it's one more subscriber you might get. And they were the first to do that.
And let me tell you, I think smart, because of that, they kind of forced everybody to do it.
Sure.
Which is awesome.
Got to keep up now, right?
Yeah. Did you know that you can actually see everything you've watched on Netflix?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Can you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You go to their viewing activity section.
Yeah. Netflix.com/viewing activity. And you could get a list and you could download a list of everything you've watched, which I was like, huh, I'm going to have to try
and you
that.
You can also edit that list, which I have done.
Like going back to forever, as long as you had your account?
I don't know how far back it goes.
Well, I mean, I haven't gone all the way back forever, but there are times, if you notice, you go to watch a movie that you're not sure about. You're like, oh, maybe this Bigfoot movie will be okay. Maybe.
Usually is.
Maybe this one about the pigs and truffles will be okay.
You watch about like 15, 20 minutes of it, and then you realize this is a crap movie, I don't want to watch it, and you stop watching it. But then Netflix, because you watched it, it starts suggesting other crap.
So you take it out of your history.
So I take it out of my history, and then that stops them from suggesting those things to me. Because even if you down thumb something, they think you watched it and maybe you like the genre, but not that particular film. And they still keep throwing crap at you.
Gotcha.
I have to do that because my nephew has been using my Netflix account. And I get all this. I'm like, why is this even recommending this? Because all those recommendations come like to the top of your list. And I'm like, no, I don't watch this. Mm. So that's good to know. I have to go through and delete all that crap.
You know, John, you were talking earlier how, you know, we had the viewing queues, right? Back in the DVD rental days. I think you made the comment of something about that's how we watch now. We don't use a queue anymore, really. They have a watch list thing on there.
Right, I don't use it anymore. Not anymore. You can still do it.
We don't use it.
But you don't have to.
Yeah. No, now you just search for what you want, or it's one of those things that we've talked about on the podcast before where it just keeps putting it in front of your face until you begrudgingly say, all right, fine, I'll watch this crap. And you watch
here's
it.
Here's what's
and,
trending, or here's what we think you'll like, or based on previous viewing. Yeah.
So even the queue model is gone now from them.
Yeah.
Again, it's in there, but why do I don't use it. I don't look at it. In fact, for me, I think Netflix is the one service that's the closest to old school channel flipping for me.
Really?
Hmm.
Well, so I have, you know, my own media library that I stream on Plex, but those are things I curate. I want this. I go get it. I download it and I watch it. But I'll go to Netflix if I don't know what I want to watch. And I'll go, oh, what's out there? Let's watch a minute of that. No, that's garbage. What else? There's a documentary. No, that's garbage. Now I'll go out to discover things on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Whereas otherwise, because I don't see commercials, I don't see trailers, I don't see stuff. So that's how I find new things sometimes, is by flipping through the recommendations of Netflix, whether I watch it or not.
Well, and now you don't even have to flip through. Now they have that let us just pick something at random for you part. Have you ever used that?
I saw that. I have not clicked that
yet.
Really?
I'm a little frightened I've too. Done it a couple of times now. They start the movie. They tell you the title up in the top corner. But if you don't like that one, you can click the right arrow on your little whatever appliance remote you're using. Like I'm using a Fire Stick. So I click the little right arrow and it starts another movie. And another movie.
Really?
And another movie. And it doesn't, you can keep going and you can go backwards if you say, oh, you know, I decided I want to watch that one. You keep going back and forth until you find something you like.
Have you used it? Is it good? Recommendations work? Or
They work pretty decently. I'm usually at night, I kind of want to watch like something dramatic, you know, or action or thriller or something along those lines. Yeah. And I'll log in and I'll hit shuffle. And because of the stuff that I've watched before and because I've cleaned up my viewing list, it'll usually
I gotta do that first.
It'll usually pop something in there that I'm moderately interested in. And I'll give it 5 or 10 minutes. Usually within the first 3 suggestions, I'll find something that I like.
That's cool.
Interesting.
I didn't know that existed. That.
Yeah, me neither. That's I mean, I knew it existed, but I never had the. I was always afraid if I clicked on it, it's going to commit me to something.
I can't get out.
Yeah, but that's like, John's channel flipping, right? That's what we used to do back in the TV.
Yeah,
this of is course. True.
This is very TV true. Days.
Yeah, you yeah, just what's on here?
Sit with your remote until you found a channel that had something on that you liked.
Sure enough. Yeah.
So yeah, once I clean up all my nephew's crap out of there, I may try that.
Well, that is going to just about wrap up our retrospective on Netflix. Mr. Hastings, we look forward to your commission check. So we did the documentary you'd like us to do here. We appreciate you listening along. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another Backtrack as always, but next week with our regular edition of our show. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you.
Oh, man, always fun.
Fourth listener is you. We appreciate most of all, though, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washy shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
I think you just gave him a concrete reason not to reach out to us with that last part. Yeah. What are you doing?
It wasn't a threat. It was a promise.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Califato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.